Now, for the main part, the Mishnah's discussion of the sukkah and the mitzvah of living in a sukkah over sukkahs has now finished. That was the subject of the first two prakim of the Masechta. The subject of the next perek and a half are the arba minim, the four species which one has to shake every day of sukkahs. And in the Beis HaMikdosh, there was an obligation every day of sukkahs to shake the arba minim. That was a mitzvah midah eraisa every single day. Whereas outside of the Beis HaMikdosh, there is only a mitzvah midah eraisa to shake it on the first day of sukkahs. Midrabbanon, once the Beis HaMikdosh was destroyed, in order to commemorate the fact that they shook it every day in the Beis HaMikdosh, there's an obligation in Midrabbanon to shake the arba minim every single day, as well as the first day, which is midah eraisa. Now, the names of the four species which we shake are not actually written in the Torah explicitly. The Torah sort of describes them, but it's not absolutely clear from the Pesukim themselves which species the Torah is talking about. However, we have a Masorah, we have a tradition as to what exactly the four species are, the Lulav, the Esrog, Hadassim, and Arovis. Now, the first half of Perek Gimel discusses the Abraminim themselves and various invalidations of the species and what exactly is necessary to make a kosher Lulav and a kosher Esrog, etc. And then the second half of the perek, as well as the beginning of the next perek, discuss more the practical side, the actual mitzvah of shaking the arba minim. Now, there are two main causes of invalidation of the arba minim. The first one is known as choser. The second one is known as hodor. Choser means that part of the min, a min is one of the four species, part of the min is missing. For example, if part of the, if certain parts of the lulav are chopped off. Now, it's learned from the Pasuk, which says, "Lekachtem lochem b'yom harishon," that you should take for yourselves on the first day of Sukkot. That's the mitzvah midah eraisa, which applies everywhere. And the word "lekachtem," and you should take, can also be read as two separate words. "Ulekach tom," and you should take something complete, something whole. And we learn from there that if any of the arba minim are choser, the missing part of the min, so it's invalid. However, that only applies to the first day of Sukkot. The Midrabbanan obligation of shaking arba minim on the rest of the Sukkot, for the rest of the days, even a lulav which is choser, or an esrog or hadassim or arovis which are choser, they are still valid for the rest of the days of Sukkot. The second type of invalidation is one of hodor. Hodor means beautiful, and when talking about the esrog, the Torah says that it is a pre-eitz hodor. It's a beautiful fruit. But we compare all of the arba minim together, and that requirement of hodor applies to all of the arba minim. So, for example, if one of the minim have dried out, so it's no longer beautiful, and it will be invalid. Now, this certainly applies on the first day of Sukkot. Whether this invalidation of hodor also applies on the rest of Sukkot is a big machlokes rishonim, but certainly on the first day of Sukkot, this is an invalidation mid eraisa. Now, the pasuk which he brought before, lekachtem lochem b'yom harishon, you should take for yourself on the first day of Sukkot, the arba minim. If you notice, the Torah says, lekachtem lochem, and you should take for yourselves. And we learn from that extra word, lochem, for yourselves, that one can only fulfill his obligation of the arba minim on the first day of Sukkot if he owns the arba minim. And because of that, a borrowed lulav, or borrowed any of the arba minim, are not good to fulfill one's obligation. On a similar note, if somebody stole one of the arba minim, he also wouldn't be able to fulfill his obligation. Now, when it comes to the laws of one who steals something, although initially when he steals it, he generally does not acquire the item, it does not become his. Under certain conditions, if the owner gives up hope of getting it back, that's known as yiyush, he gives up hope of getting that item back. So at that point, the ownership is transferred to the thief. So now it becomes his. I would have thought that he would technically be able to fulfill his obligation with that stolen lulav once it has become his. However, the Mishnah says, lulav ha-gozol, a stolen lulav, v'hayovesh, as well as a dried lulav, if the lulav has started to become white instead of green, possible it is invalid. So the dry lulav, of course, is invalid because it is not hodor. It's not beautiful. But why is the lulav which is stolen invalid totally? The Mishnah implies that even once it becomes yours, it's invalid. So the answer is there is a different problem. And that is an important principle known as mitzvah habor b'avera. A mitzvah which comes about only via transgressing an avera is not considered a mitzvah, and you do not fulfill your obligation. So since this person only managed to shake the arba minim via obtaining them by an avera, so the mitzvah is also not considered to be a mitzvah. Continues the Mishnah, shel ashera, a lulav which comes from an asherah tree, which is a tree which people worshipped as idolatry, which is iran edachas, or if a lulav came from a tree which was in Ir HaNidachas. And Ir HaNidachas is a city where the majority of the residents of that city worship Avodah Zarah, and if the Beis Din check into it and they see that it is indeed true, then that entire city must be burnt, and it's forbidden to benefit from anything over there. And the same applies to the Asherah tree. Because it was worshipped as Avodah Zarah, it has to be burnt. So Luluv, which comes from there, Posel, is invalid. The reason being, we will learn at the end of this Mishnah that there is a minimum amount, the minimum size, which the Luluv has to be. Now something which needs to be burnt, and there is an obligation to burn it, halachically we view that item as if it is already burnt. Which means that if you shake it, halachically speaking, you're not really shaking anything. It lacks the minimum size of the lulav, because it's as if it's burnt already. And that is why such lulav is invalid. Next, niktam roshay. If the top of the leaves was chopped off, this refers to the leaves which come out of the lulav's spine, and the top of those leaves are above the top of the spine. So those leaves towards the top of the lulav, if the tip of those leaves has been chopped off, that is not considered to be a hodor, a beautiful lulav. Although in terms of being choser, this is not considered to be choser. There are only particular parts of the abraminim, which if they are missing or chopped off, that would be an invalidation of choser. The leaves is not one of them, and therefore this is only invalid because of hodor. Nifetu alav, we're going to explain this as the leaves came off, and he tied the leaves back onto the lulav. So again, as we said, in terms of choser, this is not choser because the leaves are not considered an integral part of the lulav itself, such that it will be considered choser without the leaves. Nevertheless, this is not considered beautiful, and therefore it is not hodar, and so it's invalid. So as Mishnah Pasul, it's invalid. Nifdu alav, if its leaves spread apart. So ideally, a lulav should have very straight leaves going up along the spine. Nevertheless, even if they begin to separate out a bit, if you're technically able to tie, let's say, something around the leaves and make them be next to the spine, so that's enough, as long as they're still connected to the spine, kosher, the lulav would be valid. Rabbi Huda says, Yegden milmala. You actually do have to tie it at the top, so that the leaves are right next to the spine. It's not enough that they are able to be tied, but the leaves actually do have to be right next to the spine in order to be valid. Tzinei Har HaBarzel, the lulavim, the palm branches which grow on Har HaBarzel, the leaves of these lulavim coming out of the spine were usually quite short, and there weren't many of them. However, in general, the top of one leaf reached at least to the bottom of the next leaf above that. So the entire spine was actually covered by leaves, just about, and therefore kasheros, those types of lulavim are valid. Lulav sheyesh bo shlosh tefachim k'dilin ha'ne'aboy, which we're going to translate to mean a lulav which has three tefachim in height, as well as enough space to shake it. So that's another tefach, the size of his fist, to actually hold on to the lulav and shake it. Kosher, such lulav is kosher. Meaning, the minimum size of a lulav has to be at least four tefachim high. Now, das manarovus only need to be three tefachim each. Then the lulav should poke out at least a tefach, so that you can shake it from there, with the hadas min ha'arovos tied to it.